My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David.
Retro Ray.
And my name is Zach.
And this is where we talk all things Star Wars. And before we get started, we want to recognize some of our awesome supporters on here. Our top tier Patreon supporters starts off with Hayden Hauser, Darth Ace One, Liam McCallion, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Devin McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel, Finmer526, Maya Morris, and Maka Tautala. Thank you to everyone that supports the podcast. We are trying to find our way to many a convention this year. There's actually one coming up pretty soon that's going to be several, in fact, close to where Ray and I are located. But the big one I think we're kind of looking forward to is Rebel Scum Con. And we're looking to have one of the big promoters on the show here coming up soon. But yeah, we got a few topics to talk to you about. And I know you're looking at the first thing there, Daisy Ridley. So Daisy Ridley, she gave a little bit of an interview. There's several articles if you go online. Several outlets ran stuff. I know she's on the cover of Empire.
Yeah.
And I have a picture here. There's several pictures of her from the Empire magazine. But the most interesting article, I think, is from a site that I've never heard of. It's called Gazette Sci-Fi and Fantasy, where it talks about her new adventure into the new film for Star Wars. So I'm going to read a little bit of it here. It's entitled Daisy Ridley Teases the Different Star Wars Film That Will Hopefully Be a New Adventure. It feels like a Star Wars franchise is heading towards a pivotal moment, at least on the film side. While several television projects have been met with fan approval and gargantuan ratings, the latest trilogy is still very divisive, to say the least. It seems like a bit of the pressure can be reflected in the latest comments from Rey Skywalker actress Daisy Ridley, who has some bubbly excitement when it comes to the Ridley. Daisy Ridley will reprise the character in a forthcoming film directed by Charmaine Obey-Chinoy, per an announcement made at Star Wars Celebration 2023 on April 7th. While speaking to Total Film, to promote her upcoming release, Young Woman and the Sea, Ridley seemed to have some frenetic energy when discussing the project. She said, "It's really strange. I think the whole thing will feel so different anyway, with a totally different team," said Ridley, who is now 32. That's wild. She was in her 20s, now she's in her 30s. When she first started filming The Force Awakens back in April 2014, she had a very modest number of roles under her belt before then. 10 years later, things are a lot different. As Ridley confirmed, "I'm in a very different place than I was. I'm probably going to be one of the adults, and initially I was the youngest person on set, which is a weird feeling." With no Star Wars Celebration slated for this year, which we all know tickets go on sale for next year, Japan 2025, the next convention in 2025 for Japan, fans are hoping that more details on the project will be announced on May 4th, aka Star Wars Day, which I don't think we'll get more details, but that's just me. It's expected that filming of the project will kick off in late 2024 or early 2025 for a 2026 release date. In terms of production, Ridley noted, "I would also hope that it's a lot of the same crew. Obviously, many people shifted, but many people stayed the same through all three films, and there was something wonderful and comforting about that. But I don't know. It all remains to be seen. I hope it feels natural in some way, but also, like, I don't know. Like, it's a new adventure. I'm hoping it's sort of both." Naturally, fans are curious about who might be returning with Rey in the film, especially me. Oscar Isaacs, Poe Dameron, and John Boyega's Finn are presumably still out in the galaxy fighting the good fight. Additionally, Mark Hamill's Luke Skywalker could always show up as a Force ghost. So, guys, what do you think about Daisy Ridley's comments? What do you think about this new Rey film? What are your thoughts? Zach?
Man, I was talking with one of my buddies today as we were picking up sticks in my yard. Ironically, I'm like, dude, I hope John Boyega comes back with Daisy Ridley, because I know she was talking about the same crew, I guess, kind of, you know, behind the scenes. And but I think they're going to be able to get John Boyega to come back. I know he said he was, I guess, wanting to move away from Star Wars, but, you know, the mouse might be able to write a paycheck for him that he won't say no to. And, you know, let's be real. Who doesn't want to be in Star Wars, right? I mean, that's a big deal to us, I know for sure. But I know for a lot of actors who just respect, you know, different movies in general, that's probably something people gravitate to naturally. But I guess I'm just hoping that along with the same type of crew, they get a lot of cast members to come back from the sequel trilogy that people really loved. And I'm just curious to see how they pull certain things off, if they are to continue filling storylines that are open-ended, like Rey. Well, I guess we know Rey's force sensitive, but Finn being more force sensitive than he's led on to be in the first two sequel films. And I don't know, there's a lot of open possibilities, but we can always hope for certain things, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, perfect example, you talk about him having force sensitive powers. I mean, look at what we had in Ahsoka. You know, we had Sabine, who at one point we thought she didn't have any force, you know, in her. And then she was able to learn somewhat of it and then use it. So it's definitely, from what I get, what they're wanting to do, and this is where things get rocky, is that pretty much everybody has the force in some form or fashion. And some have it more than others, vice versa, to a certain extent. But the ones who don't have it can still get it and use it. It just, they're going to have to work harder than others who actually have it. You know, like, perfect example, Bad Batch, you know, Omega, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Ventress kind of talking with Omega, I guess, brief minor spoilers for those who haven't seen that episode, but she's in the trailer. So just kind of, I don't know. And they talked about it in Ahsoka too. Like, some of it's natural talent, you know, kind of like what Qui-Gon saw in Anakin in the Phantom Menace, but some of it, you know, you can, like, I don't know, I compare it to like athletes. You have natural athletes who are just really gifted in certain sports, but then you have guys who work their rear ends off to get to where they're at. And, you know, I don't know, when I think of an athlete who's worked his butt off, I think of Kirk Cousins. He's like, he's not crazy good, but he's a pro quarterback right now for the Falcons, or going to be for the Falcons. And I don't know, that's, you can train for it, it's definitely true, but
Yeah, that was always my whole argument when people would accuse Rey of being like a Mary Sue and this whole thing where she didn't have to train and she was just naturally gifted with the Force. And I always made that comparison that, hey, look, I'm pretty sure if you're old enough or you're going through life as like a kid playing sports, that was the best comparison I could make. Sometimes I would go into these like summer leagues or just play sports for school, and some kids were just naturally good, and it's it's like,
and they didn't even try.
Yeah, I mean, the natural like gifts of like speed and coordination and stuff, but like me with like basketball, I would practice all the time, but it would always be by myself, so I had no one to guard me. I could shoot, but I really didn't have the whole understanding of actually having someone guard me. But then when I had a neighbor who was a friend, then I could have someone to guard me, and I got better in that aspect. But I saw kids that were just naturally talented, and that's the way I kind of attribute Rey's force ability to, was just she just had the natural ability. And of course we found out later on that she was a descendant of Palpatine, essentially Palpatine's granddaughter. So I mean, that's one of the most powerful force users ever. And then she was part of a dyad too.
Well, I mean, you bring that up now too. So are we going to really get to see any more backstory of her parents and possibly see when she was born and, you know, that backstory? Or do you think that's going to be something we're going to see either in pre-animation, comic book form? What do you think?
I think it could get flushed out in, I guess, kind of the way they're going with like the Project Necromancer stuff in the live action Disney Plus series. I think excuse me, I think they could go that way a little bit, and maybe allude to the creation of the first clone from Palpatine. We don't know if Rey's father is the first clone of Palpatine. We don't, you know, but we could definitely see progress made in that field. And I guess maybe her parents specifically, if it wasn't in a show, I'd probably guess it's going to be a comic or a book.
Yeah, possible.
In the beginning, when she first took the stage at London Celebration, we were all shocked that she was there and they were doing this Rey movie. It was written that she was not going to have a really big part in this new upcoming New Jedi Order film, but she's getting paid $12 million to be in this film. So I think she's going to have a pretty substantial role.
And it's like Robert Downey Jr. in Spider-Man Homecoming. Like it's almost the same numbers.
I think Robert Downey Jr. got a whole lot more.
All right. Fair enough. But he was kind of the supporting like sensei role. You know what I mean? Kind of in that movie, he wasn't driving the main, I guess, plot, but he was definitely a big part of the
right. It really feels like she's going to have a lot bigger role than what everyone was writing about earlier on. And the whole thing with John Boyega, that's a whole story onto itself, because after the trilogy was over, Boyega had a lot of comments and a lot of thoughts on his experience in Star Wars. And it was really interesting. He talked about how you saw Boyega being marketed a certain way, and then that character wasn't fleshed out in the way that he was kind of promised that he would be. And that whole thing with in The Rise of Skywalker, when Finn was sinking in that quicksand where they ended up going into that cave area, he told Rey, he thought he was maybe going to die, and he told Rey, I have a secret or whatever. And his secret, apparently, it's not in the film, but J.J. Abrams revealed that his secret was that he was going to tell. And at that time, I thought he was going to... It was more of like he wanted to tell Rey how he felt about her. But apparently, J.J. Abrams said his secret, what he wanted to tell Rey, was that I am Force sensitive. So it's really kind of established that he is Force sensitive. And that kind of explains, if you go back to The Force Awakens, how he was able to hold his own against Kylo Ren for as long as he did, because Kylo Ren is pretty gifted in the dark side. So getting John Boyega back, I think, would be a great thing. But he has said so much in interviews that he doesn't really want to have anything to do with Star Wars anymore. He says he wants to move on, but he's very close friends with Daisy Ridley. So if she can convince him to come back, I think Disney would be more than welcoming for John Boyega to come back. And it's an established character. He can come back. The rumored title for this film is The New Jedi Order. So he could theoretically be one of the Jedi Masters there. And we don't have to see his training. We could just know he trained. He's attuned to the Force. And that promise of what we saw in those trailers for the sequel trilogy can kind of pan out for us, and we can see that Jedi that was promised to us. So I don't know. Poe Dameron, Oscar Isaac, I don't think he's going to come back unless he's going to get a huge payday. And
he's not going to be in Dune 3. I'll tell you that for free, but
well, why do you say that?
Well, he wasn't in Dune 2. How about that?
Well, spoilers for Dune. He died in the first movie.
The novel's only been out, 50, 60 years? And
Dune's a whole other Star Wars topic.
They backed up that truck with money. They're all going to do it. Harrison Ford said he would.
Right, exactly. Oscar Isaac said in an interview, he's like, if I need another house, I'll do it. So, he's
game. He's a busy man, too. He's in a lot of stuff. He's kind of all over the place in a good way, right? But.
Yeah, you got to take it while you can, because you never know when the ship's going to start to go down and take, you know, that's one thing about these actors. When they're going after these movies, they're going after roles. They're not picking out these movies. They're going out for auditions and stuff, like not knowing that this movie they're acting, you know, trying out for is going to be a Star Wars or, you know, a Ghostbusters. They're just doing it for a job. And if it happens that it does this where it's like becomes an iconic film, it's just perfect timing for them, but at the same time, they got to ride that wave because they don't know when they're not going to have that next job. So it's kind of crazy because some of the interviews I've interviewed, some of these people are like, well, we didn't even know. We were just, you know, trying out for a role. That's it. So it's kind of crazy how, but there's other actors now. We know Star Wars is huge. We know the Avengers is huge. And you got these fans like Smith wanted to be in Star Wars. The guy from James Bond wanting to be in Star Wars. You know, everyone's wanting to be a part of Star Wars in some form or fashion, even if it's, you know, an extra or whatever. But you got
Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper, right?
Yeah.
In The Force Awakens. Yeah.
Interrogated Rey in The Force Awakens. And you got to hear his voice too.
Yep.
And so were the Princes of England as well.
Oh, that's cool. And Sheeran, I think, was in there too. Like, I think there were, I don't know. I could
be mixing that up with Game of Thrones. Could be a load of
crap. No, but it's true though. I mean, come on. You know, all of us, if we could be in a Star Wars movie, we would want to. You know what I mean? So just, you know, even if it's just a voiceover or in some form or fashion, it's just crazy. I mean, getting this job, like, hopefully we're gonna get this artist back on who's doing the. We got to reschedule it, but the artist that's doing the anniversary issue for the Phantom Menace. He was just an artist and he just liked drawing Spider-Man. He was a comic book artist and he ended up getting into art, you know, artwork and doing comics and stuff. And, you know, he said when he got his chance to do, cause two things he wanted to do was when he was a comic book artist, draw Spider-Man and Star Wars. And he pretty much got to do both of his dreams, you know, things, you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now that you brought that up, I wonder if these actors that are out there, like a Daniel Craig and Tom Hardy, if they are as eager to be in a future Star Wars film. Like, I don't know if Star Wars has kind of lost some of its luster, some of its, I don't want to say credibility, but
maybe some mojo a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if we're going to see that anymore. Because it feels like pretty much everyone that's wanted to be kind of in Star Wars that's a big-time actor has kind of put their hat in the ring and kind of got on the set.
No, there's still some actors out there that want to be involved. I mean,
Leonardo DiCaprio wants a shot again.
Yeah, and then you've got
Miss Marvel. He said he doesn't want to be involved in Star Wars. He loves it, but he doesn't want to be involved.
Because he went for Anakin Skywalker once upon a time, didn't he?
Yeah. And I don't remember exactly how that story went, but I don't remember exactly what happened with that. But yeah, he was up for Anakin Skywalker.
Remember what's his name that we met in Dallas, remember? Wants to be a...
Yeah, that's different, Ray. I'm talking about like the big time actors that you usually don't see do bit parts and will say, oh, I'll cover my face and do anything as a stormtrooper.
Oh, you're talking about that. Okay.
Yeah. I know actors still want to be in Star Wars, but I mean, people that just want to like get on set and do that type of thing and kind of be behind the scenes and kind of be secretive. So yeah, that movie, the projection for Ray's movie is Christmas time next year. So they're going to have to start shooting this thing pretty quickly. Actually, not next year, the year after that, right? 2026? Because it's 2026 and 2027. Two films in 2026 and one in 2027. So apparently we're going to get the Mandalorian and Grogu film in May of 2026. And then the Rey film, Christmas of 2026. And then probably the Dawn of the Jedi Mangled film in 2027. So that's what it looks like it's shaping up to be. And also with James, who's on the podcast, I think we really, really kind of fell in love with the character of Rey, and we were super on board with having her and her performance that she gave throughout the sequel trilogy. And I'm glad that she's coming back. Like I said before, it was a surprise appearance in London. Had no idea. No one knew anything. But I will say this, though. She put on her Instagram. She left social media came back after a few year hiatus, I think. And then she posted, oh, I'm at Lucasfilm, but don't get too excited, guys. This isn't for anything. And of course, it was the meeting to do the Rey film. I mean, that's, I mean, who would fly all the way from England all the way to the West Coast of America and not be there for something? You know, I mean, you wouldn't just do that. I had so many people tell me, nah, it's nothing. It's there's nothing. But I mean, I should have known. I should have trusted my instincts. But but yeah. And if I were betting on it, I would say that there's a 60% chance we're going to get John Boyega in this thing. Because I think that Daisy Ridley is going to talk him into it. But I do think that Disney is going to have to back up some cash to his house.
For sure.
And a decent Brinks truck. So, yeah, we will see what the future holds with that. And, of course, with Japan celebration happening next year, we're less than a year away, guys. We're sure to get something, maybe like a sizzle reel or a small trailer or something for the Rey film, something. And who knows, Daisy Ridley might be there along with some other actors from that movie. So we shall see. So on to our next topic. So Zach, he has something there with him. He wants to give a little demonstration. So he has like a full bottle of blue milk there that he said he's going to chug the entire on the podcast.
We didn't agree to that. Man. I would have something hoops, different for dinner.
What hoops did you have to jump through to get that, Zach?
I guess an annoying cash register lady. She's like, that's blue milk? That looks disgusting. I'm like, dude, if you had self-checkout, we wouldn't be chatting and I'd be out of here. You think I'm gross. So there's a local restaurant. Not restaurant, sorry. Supermarket in West Michigan. I don't know how far outside of West Michigan it is. It's called Family Fair. Colin said that he went to one near us the day before street date for the blue milk. And they're like, oh, yeah, the truck ran late. It should be in tomorrow. And he went on, I think it was the 17th, the day it was supposed to come out. And they're like, yeah, sorry, we don't have any. And he's like, what the heck? And I told him, I'll check the Family Fair by me. And it was the day that it dropped. And I went in, and actually, I think it was the 18th. But I went into this Family Fair by me and they had a whole row of this blue milk and I grabbed a couple and I'm like, all right, here we go. It expires May 5 of 24. And if I play my cards right, maybe it won't be super gross by May 4, but maybe I'll find some more and have some for May 4. So nothing super crazy, but it was so weird. Just you have these people who have like grocery carts full of, you know, like their weekly groceries. I'm standing there holding some like blue milk jugs. And I'm just like, people are like, what is that blue milk? And I'm like, yes, that is blue milk. And oh, it's so disgusting. That's how, and I'm like, dude, I got to go to the gym after this. I'm just here to grab some and I got to go. But that was, I guess, the biggest hoop I had to jump through was cashiers that were willing to speak their mind on how gross they thought it looked. So,
but the release date though, you went to several stores, right? The day that
I did.
We thought it was going to be dropped. How many stores did you go to?
So in all honesty, I only went to two.
Okay.
But I went to one three times on three different days. And the second one I went to twice on two different days. So it was very convenient. One I could go to on my lunch at work and it's like a stone throw away from where I am. And the other one's a stone throw from my house. So if I'm being real honest, I didn't try real hard. It just was near me and I got lucky. Maybe I got lucky. I don't know. Maybe it's everywhere now. But so yeah.
I think it's straggled coming out because my wife tried getting some since Monday because she doesn't go into grocery store. She does curbside stuff. So she had been trying since Monday and they nowhere had it. Walmart didn't have it. Target didn't have it. HEB didn't have it. And then I saw a buddy of mine, Craig Luna, post a photo yesterday and he said that he got his at Walmart. So I told my wife, and my wife ended up getting some today actually from Walmart.
Awesome.
So we just got ours recently.
Booyah.
Nice. And you have some too, right? You're about to taste
Yes. Some. I got a little glass right here.
Let's crack this open for those of you listening. So we'll just do.
So Ray, you're gonna drink it from the cup, and Zach is gonna drink it directly.
Oh,
from...
I'm a civilized oh. man, Dave. Come on now.
Yeah, my wife wanted to try it too because she likes vanilla, so she's like, "I gotta try it."
Yeah,
I was like, "Okay, cool. Well, I'll try it too."
I always imagine. I mean, I figured this is like melted Blue Moon ice cream. Like that's where my head goes. Just looking at it, just looks like less viscous Blue Moon ice cream. But right. David, do you have any?
No, I don't have any. I don't drink milk.
Why not? When was the last time you had milk, David?
I don't know. Maybe like 2012. I don't know.
Dang. Well, Ray, to your health.
There you go. Woo! There you go. Let's go. It actually tastes pretty good.
Yeah. It's a subtle hint of vanilla. You kind of gotta focus on it, but it's there. It's there.
Damn, I'm gonna have to have it with my Cinnamon Toast Crunch now.
It dude, it's pretty good. Me too, man. That's the move. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping for. May 4, wake up, pour a nice bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and some blue milk and watch Tales of the Empire. That's the morning at least, and then Phantom Menace in the afternoon. Maybe we'll go live. I think we'll go live, but that might be in between the two. But yeah, it's going
to
be a party.
So I'm going to give me another one now because, damn, this is
good. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It pretty does impressed. Look a lot like the episode 4 Blue Milk. That they got the color pretty close.
Yeah, my garbage camera. That looks a little bit like gray milk, I guess, my camera. But
I'm impressed. I'm definitely impressed.
Yeah, not to be confused with the Galaxy's Edge blue milk, because it's not actually milk. It's just blue, like a blue slushy kind of, almost like
I gotta try that soon,
like a shake. Yeah, it's all right. It's nothing where I've gone back and I was like, man, I gotta have that blue green milk stuff. I did like the green milk more than the blue milk, which is kind of sacrilegious, but I wish I liked
only if you
milk.
Let it be.
I guess too much is done.
I thought this would taste good in a milkshake.
Yeah, probably would.
I think it would, actually, to tell you the truth.
Cool. You guys are making me want to buy a gallon now.
Dude, man. It's pretty good, to be honest with you. I mean, I
peer pressure.
Yeah, because normally my wife gets the half milk or whatever it is, that percentage, 2%, whatever.
Yeah.
And 2%. What's the other 98%?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what she gets. But I eat it with my cereal, but I'm like... But this, I'm like, oh, yeah, I could definitely,
Pure sugar, man. Pure fuel.
And the blue milk looks exactly like this, right?
Dude,
what you have in your hand?
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
That's this guy for sure.
Nice.
Same deal. See, now, do I want to be that collector that, like, empties one out and, like, washes it out and keeps it? Like, do I want to be that guy?
No, just never open one.
Oh, that's almost worse, dude. I like, oh, yeah, and then bury it in the backyard and forget about it and keep the stench out there.
Funny. Well, I have a Wheaties box when the Spurs won the championship and they were on the cover.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think everyone in South Texas, Ray, has one of those.
Yeah, I think, it's just one of those things. You know what I mean?
I got one from Michigan State when they won the national championship like 2.5 weeks before I was born. My grandpa has a box of Frosted Flakes and we got it signed. It was kind of cool, but that's not as big of a deal as the Spurs. So,
no, it's just people have, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Like the collectors are going out and like buying this stuff, you know, everything. Yeah. I mean, a lot of stuff is dropping. I mean, a lot of stuff is dropping. Hot Toys is dropping stuff. Funko's dropping stuff. I mean, it seems like every other day something's being dropped. So it's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah. Me too. My wallet doesn't. My wife is on the fence, but I like it.
You gotta get that money set aside. Okay, this is for this and this is for that.
SpaceCon, that's all I'm thinking about. We gotta get ready for SpaceCon because we just keep stacking that, I guess, list of people who are gonna be there more and more to where it's like, oh my gosh, do I need to get, you know, some Jar Jar Binks thing for Ahmed Best to sign. Like, do I want to go that route or I don't know. It's Hayden Christensen's my main focus, you know, but we'll see what I cave and end up buying.
Yeah. Dude, right. So, now I think the Jar Jar Binks Funko Pop is about $27 on Amazon.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's so expensive, but
Yeah.
What do you know what the street date is for those?
I think they're already out, right?
They got to be coming up soon because I want to get the Anakin one because I got to make that part of my. I'm doing like an Anakin timeline. I got to get that to put in there, but.
Hey,
yeah, you know what snag a Jar Jar.
You know what I just thought What's about, up? David?
What's that?
So I'm wondering if they're going to have a photo op with, since Anakin and Jar Jar. I wonder if they're going to have a photo op with them too.
It's possible. It's very possible. Thinking back on it, I don't think Ahmed Best has ever done like a group photo type thing with other Star Wars celebrities. Not that I've seen or heard of. I don't know if anyone in chat can recall that, but that would be a first.
Ahmed Best did a scene with, I guess, Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme like at the very beginning of Attack of the Clones. Right. But other than him being all sad boy hours walking at Padme's funeral and Revenge of the Sith, I don't think there's any other scenes that they shared.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I could be wrong.
But dude, it opens up a lot of things now. Cause you think about it now, if you're going to be going to SpaceCon, what are you going to have him sign? A Jar Jar photo? Are you going to have him sign a baby Grogu Funko Pop or baby Grogu? Since technically he saved Grogu. What are you going to get signed? You know what I mean?
I'd have to go Jar Jar. I would totally go something for Jar Jar. I don't know, but that's just me.
What about you?
Yeah, there's a Black Series Jar Jar that got released. I have one somewhere in the back here, but I'd probably get that signed. He'll probably have like 8x10 photos that you can have signed, but
yeah.
If I do get a picture with him, which I hope I do, I might just have the picture signed. I might just do that.
There's a 2-pack Funko Pop of Grievous from the Clone Wars fighting. Is it Jar Jar? I don't think they kind of fought, but I think it's a 2-pack from GameStop. You could have a Matthew Wood signed part and then have Ahmed Best on the other. That'd be like the coolest random item to have in your collection. Matthew Wood and Ahmed Best. I don't know. Worlds collide, I guess, but that'd be kind of sweet.
No, you got to take advantage of this stuff.
Yeah,
I know you're really looking forward to Hayden to meeting him at SpaceCon in San Antonio in October.
Oh yeah.
But who is the other celebrity that you would pick from Star Wars to actually have there at the con and maybe do a
who's
panel?
Not there or who's already there?
Who would you want?
Who would I want? I mean,
I know Hayden's like your number one, right?
I'd love to see Ewan would be awesome. Liam Neeson is definitely up there.
Dude. Liam Neeson, he hasn't done at all convention.
Yeah. Tamara Morrison's up there. Anthony Daniels, he's up there. Man, I guess that's like my instant response to that is just those handful of names from Star Wars. I think Ewan would be my number two. But I would definitely love to meet Liam Neeson. That would be sweet. Qui-Gon's always been one of my favorites, but
that'd be something to have an Ewan, Hayden, and Ahmed Best group photo.
Dude.
That would be
trifecta.
Incredible. Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Sure. Ray, what about you?
Be honest with you, if I had a choice and I had to pick between two. One, because the Hispanic and me, you know, Pedro Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never met, you know, Mark Hamill, and he would be the one I would want to meet because, I mean, he's Luke. Without Luke, we wouldn't have, you know, Jedis. Well, we would have Jedis, but the Skywalker saga, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's the one that's on my bucket list that I would love to meet. But Pedro Pascal's right there as well.
Yeah, for me, it would actually be, I think, Jon Favreau. I would love for him to do something like this.
Oh, man. Now you're thinking about Dave Filoni.
Yeah. True. But for me, I think personally, it's Jon Favreau. He created The Mandalorian. He kind of came up with that whole idea. He brought Filoni along. Yeah. Pre Vizsla. And yeah, I mean, just his fandom, just like the behind the scenes, knowing his backstory, how he was an usher in New Jersey, and one of the films that he saw hundreds of times was Return of the Jedi, and he dreamed about working in Star Wars, and then he accomplished that dream, and he got in. It was almost like everything he was doing was just to get to Star Wars, and now he's in Star Wars, and he's not leaving. It's almost like he's become like that Star Wars lifer that started on the outside and worked his way in, and now he's like there, he's cemented, and now he's doing the Mandalorian and Grogu film. And gosh, man, I was so close to running into him in Anaheim Celebration 2022, where he just was randomly walking around through that Mandalorian exhibit, and he was talking to people. He was talking to people, and he was taking pictures, and people were putting him on their Instagram stories, and I was nowhere near there. I had other like appointments going on and other panels and stuff. And I almost didn't even go through the exhibit. Colin was able to get me through with his buddy from the Regal Robot booth. We were able to kind of like get in at the last moment. But yeah, man, I would want to interview Jon Favreau too and talk to him and kind of like just have a conversation with him.
Yeah. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So the Bad Batch just aired its penultimate episode in what was the title of the episode again?
Man, I honestly don't pay attention to that as much as I probably should.
Yeah, it was a very curious time. We just dropped the episode of our Bad Batch commentary.
Dang, I even listened to that and I don't remember the episode.
I don't know. Anyone in chat out there? Want to type in
the T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, and
Flash Strike. Two words.
Flash Strike. Okay. I knew there was something with Flash in the title, but very interesting the way that they're taking this season and the fact that we all know this is the end of the Bad Batch. It's
so they say.
Well, I mean, Star Wars animation, I don't think is ever going to end. We might get a spinoff of Ventress and Omega. I mean, you introduce Ventress like that, and you don't use her anymore after that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening. I think we're going to get more Ventress stuff in the future. Yeah. And Omega's story, I mean, what we don't know what her adulthood became, and we all know now that she was being kind of harvested for her blood that had a high M count. You all know that stands for midichlorians. What are her powers? Will we see her in some future, maybe live action, movie, TV show? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think Omega's story is going to continue. The Bad Batch, I don't know. I don't see it ending horribly. Do you guys see it ending having like a Rogue One type ending where you see multiple Clone Wars 99 guys die?
I think I could answer that when I see the length of the episode. Like if it's like, you know, I don't know, 75 to 90 minutes or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Line them up, dude. That's a bad way to say it. But like, it's, you know, I mean, in my head, part of me like thinks that there's going to be closure for Domino Squad with Echo. Him being kind of the, you know, I've heard people say it on the Bad Batch commentaries. Like I think Josh or, you know, like the last domino to fall. That's kind of where my head goes. But I mean, everybody always jumps to that walker that Gregor, Wolf, and Rex are on. Oh, why wasn't the Bad Batch around? But if you think about it, Rex had a mission. Rex knew exactly what he wanted to do. And it sounds like along the way, Gregor and Wolf joined. Gregor's already part of that. But the Bad Batch were off doing their own thing the whole time anyway, even during their own show. While they had, you know, they knew Rex's plans were, I guess, being built and acted upon, and they still weren't as involved. Sure, here and there, but that doesn't mean they couldn't be out there trying to be off the grid, getting their Looney Tunes, you know, closing the circle, like the ending frame, or I don't know what you call that.
That's all,
you know, fun, what folks. I mean, maybe they meet back up with Cut Laquain. I don't know. It's I guess I don't want to rule out the possibility of all of them dying, but if they didn't want to, I guess, dare I say, kill off most of them, wouldn't you think Tech would still be around?
See, I think my theory is he's still alive. I think he's still alive. I just think he got brainwashed.
Like Winter Soldier type stuff?
Yes, that's what I think. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Because, well, I find that kind of interesting. Like, people are thinking about the Clone X or whatever the sniper assassin is. But Crosshair said they tried to make him one of those, and he didn't follow it. And, you know, maybe text the same way. I don't know. That's where my head goes. If one of the members of the Bad Batch, like, they attempted to make him one of those kind of off-the-grid clones, maybe it wouldn't work for tech either. But that's, again, that's a theory. I really can't back it up more than that. But
yeah, hey, that's the thing. Theories are, that's the fun part about this. Yeah, and that's one thing, too. If you look at Omega, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I feel as this series has been going on, Omega's gotten a lot wiser and more strategically involved in the whole thing now. Like, she has plans in her head of what she wants done or she wants to get done. And it's crazy seeing that from a young kid. You know what I mean? Like when she goes and
things before they happen.
Well, yeah, kind of thing. She just sits at the table, you know, and she tells these kids, okay, so there's this over here. That, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of like,
what?
Yeah. And the kids are like, they're like just dumbfounded from it. But
I'm hungry. It's,
yeah, exactly.
I don't feel good.
I want to see what they have in store for her, especially what we saw, what she found. And I feel this is just a theory that she's going to be like Grogu, where she's able to control that creature in some form, but that's just my
theory. No, I get that, because Batcher from the beginning of the season, and
yes,
there's an episode in season one where Hunter gets, there's some like fuel cell, I can't remember what it is exactly, out of the Marauder is stolen, and she goes with Hunter. It's like her first like mission kind of off of the ship, and Hunter gets knocked out or whatever, and she sneaks in and like gets near this creature and it doesn't flip its lid on her. So I guess, yeah, no, Ray, I totally agree. You know, maybe it's not going to be a Jurassic World with the, you know, Chris Pratt with the Raptors. Probably not gonna be something like that, but maybe she just kicks down that part of the wall and takes out the clones, or not the clones, the TKs that are in there. And maybe there's more than one Zillow Beast in there. I don't know.
Yeah, possibility. Yeah. I mean, I think that is a clone of the one that we saw in Clone Wars.
That'd be crazy. That'd be real crazy.
Yeah.
When the season started, I really thought that we're going to lose part of the Bad Batch, getting to the end of the season, like one this episode, one the next episode. But it hasn't happened that way. Did we lose tech? We don't know that for sure yet.
How can he see, though, without his goggles? We found the goggles. He's just walking around like Velma from Scooby-Doo. Like.
Well, he technically could have a helmet with the
with fair.
Vision correction fair. Installed. But
he got LASIK.
The more and more I think, if you think about it, it feels like this really isn't the end, per se, of the Bad Batch. It's just the end of the TV show, The Bad Batch. But there's going to be another thing where we still see the Bad Batch.
Tales of the Bad Batch.
Possibly. I mean, is a possibility. But I think they're going to continue on and maybe have other adventures somewhere else that it doesn't conflict with the timeline and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do really like the character of Omega. And I want to see how she prospers and her character develops. And Asajj Ventress bringing her back with such kind of out of the left field type of callback. And she worked, man. She really worked for me. I really loved her stance on things, on morality, and her being like a loner, and her working, her relationship with Omega. It was interesting to see, and that she really kind of had a soul to her. And I want to see how that gets fleshed out and what her continuing story is. We got a lot of time, so
true.
Yeah,
I really want to see that. And the tone of the show in this third season, it's really surprising, because when it started out, and it's still kind of this way, it's very, very dark, very subdued. And I think that kind of fooled us in the beginning as well, that we thought that main characters were maybe going to perish, but they didn't. So we shall see what happens next Wednesday.
Yeah. I remember when season one came out, I had a theory that Darth Vader was going to kill Crosshair, but that was because I thought like it was going to come down to Crosshair like being assigned to kill his brothers and coming short. And then Vader's, you know, it's one of those classic, like he kills one of his commanding officers because they're not doing their job right or something. I guess maybe with a little more meaning behind it, but I don't know. I would be tickled pink if Vader showed up on Tantus. Do I think it'll happen? Probably not, but I guess I'm shooting for the stars here.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, it leaves, this season has left a lot of questions, making you think, like if you're not focused on one thing, if you stop and analyze the big picture, I feel they're like setting up things for that are going to happen down the line. But that's just, you know, because you think about it, the sister that was like tech with the glasses and everything as well.
Emery?
Yeah, Emery. Omega, you know, because even I forgot his name. When he was talking to her, she says, oh, yeah, Omega talked about you. So,
With Echo, when she saw with his Echo, hand.
Yeah. Yeah, or she's like, oh, she's like, yeah, I know who you are. You know who I am. And Omega sees good in you. Like, she, you know what I mean? So it's weird, like, Omega can see certain things. And like she mentions too, she didn't give up on the other Badge Batch. So she, I don't know, just something about Omega. I feel there's something big about her. And it's going to be something that's going to lead us into something else that's a lot bigger. But that's just me.
Yeah. There's no way they're not trying to set her up to be more relevant, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in my head, that makes the most sense. Well, okay. Maybe relevant's not the right word. I think they're all relevant, but I don't know. More of a larger overall purpose for the agenda of, like, some of the side story of Star Wars, like with the cloning subplots, and I don't know, could just be tripping over my words here, but
so do you guys think that they have established Omega well enough for her to maybe possibly have, I think she, like I said before, I think she's going to be in another series, but what do you think about doing something live action with Omega? Do you think that would work?
I think this is just me, because same thing with Ventress. Okay, why are you bringing her back? I would love to see her later in live action, you know, to come across, you know, Ahsoka. But at the same time, too, with Omega, I would love to see her in a live action role when she's grown up, because I feel she has a lot more to bring later down the line. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you think about it, if she's the way she is right now at this age and the way she's already starting to think and the things she's doing, can you imagine once she's an adult and what she can accomplish once she's matured more? And you know what I mean? That's just how I take it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Zach, what do you think? What do you think the prospects are to see her in something live action?
I think it's very possible to see her in something. What that could be, I really can't put a finger on it. I don't know. I mean, these are really good questions for like how I would answer if I saw the finale, right? Because it's, you know, maybe that
you don't think Omega could die, do you?
Dude, that would just blow everything we just talked about out of the water.
Yeah, psych. Emery's the key. We want Emery instead. She's been here the whole time and we didn't know it. Man, that'd be crazy. I mean, they're all such unique and cool characters, and I'm sad to see any of them go if they do. But with Omega being in, I definitely think she'll be in future Star Wars projects. But I don't know if it'd be something around the Rebels time frame, you know, just after Return of the Jedi, kind of like the Mandalorian timeline that's going on right now, or maybe closer to the sequels. I mean, she could kind of fit in any of those areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so, you think about it. Look at Obi-Wan, how long he was in hiding for. You know what I mean? So these guys can go into hiding for a long period of time and stay off the grid, like David said.
Yeah.
So the possibility is there. At the same time, we do know the Bad Batch will sacrifice their lives for her. So if she was in danger, they've done it more than once, especially when she was drowning at that one point. So each of them will sacrifice her life for her. So if something was going to happen bad to her, you know, one of the Bad Batch would be there.
Man. And if it's like a Rogue One ending where it's just, I mean, with, well, hold on, with Rogue One, kind of like, you just know these characters from the development of the movie. Well, now Andor has a series. Yeah. But like in that movie, it's boom. Wait a couple seconds. Boom. There's another one. Boom. There's, you know what I mean? And I feel like you can't do that with the Bad Batch. Like, oh, Wrecker gets smashed by something. And like, okay, dang, Crosshair just got taken out. He missed a shot and he took one. Like, I feel like if they're all sent off, it has to be kind of with some meaning behind it.
Yeah, I agree.
But we'll I guess we'll see on Wednesday. I'll be traveling for work on Wednesday, so I'm going to wait until I get home to watch it with my wife. But the first thing I'm going to look at when I wake up Wednesday morning is the runtime of that episode. I'm really curious to see what that is. So, and I trust the process, but yeah, you never know.
This is me thinking wildly. So we know what's his name has that issue with his hand, the whole shooting issue.
Oh, Crosshair. Kind of got so, the PTSD a little bit. So
what if, I know I'm just thinking crazy. What if it's going to come down to Crosshair having to take a shot, and it's going to, because we saw he had to try to shoot that tracker onto the ship and he couldn't do it. What if down to a scene where he has to take that shot, but he's questioning himself because of his hand? You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be crazy? Because that's what he did there. He was questioning himself because he felt like he couldn't get that shot off. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just, that would be cool. One way to go off is that he has to, you know, save somebody with that shot or something. You know?
Yeah. And him coming back with the rest of the batch on Tantus in the woods, he's like, I can't leave Omega behind because she did not leave me behind when she could have.
Yeah.
So I think I think he's ready to do what he has to do. You know, kind of like what you're saying, Ray, but I don't know if he has the skill to do it at this point in time.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
We do know one thing about the last episode of The Bad Batch is the episode title. It is entitled The Calvary Has Arrived.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you guys? Is it going to be like characters that we are fond of helping them in the end? Is it the creatures on Tantus that are going to play a big part and be the Calvary?
I just see that as the batch themselves. Cause, and you know, when they first pull
on their way to help Omega.
Yeah. Cause when they pull up in the Clone Wars and Cody is talking to Rex and I can't remember who was all there. They're defective clones. It's like, oh, really? And they pull up and the first thing Wrecker says is the cavalry has arrived. And that's just kind of the first thing we heard from them. And it just kind of seems more like it's like poetry. It rhymes. You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. It's just one of those intentional titles. And I don't think we're going to see any more of Rex for this show or any of those other clones that we saw mid season go up against Wolf. Yeah, that's how I take it. Just the batch themselves.
Cool.
How about you, Ray?
Yeah, no. Well, that or maybe Wolf and Rex come back.
Sure.
With more troops.
That would be sweet.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I doubt that's going to happen because in order for them to find where they were to find that base, all the thing they had to go through to get there.
Yeah.
Unless they send a beacon to get somebody, let them know where they're located. But I really can't see that happening. I would like that to happen, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen that way, but that's just me dreaming.
Yeah. Yeah. David, how about you?
I don't know, man. It's that the name of the title of the of that episode, it, it really feels like it's, I mean, it would be like poetry and rhyme.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a love
bad match, and they just show up, and it would be easier for them to animate just them showing up and not have to bring in other characters, which would, I think that makes the most sense. If you're betting on it, yeah, it would be, it would reference the surviving Bad Batch crew showing up to help Omega go up against Hemlock, and maybe Emery help on the side, and maybe those Force Attuned kids there that are playing with the blocks and playing those little games, maybe they help out too. And
I'm
very curious to see how they end this thing. But I, like I said, I don't think this is going to be the true end. You're going to get another show, but it's not going to be called The Bad Batch. So
what if it's a super twisted ending, meaning like the cavalry has arrived? Yeah, like the Empire like triples down on like their forces and sends in a bunch of, you know, Star Destroyers. And
I was actually thinking about that. What if it's like a what if it's like an Alderaan Death Star event where they just blow up Tantus?
Gone. Oh, boom. Okay. I wonder why we haven't heard of Tantus in later in the timeline.
And I mean, there are inroads to maybe the Bad Batch blowing up Tantus, and that would make that would fit into the whole story of Palpatine moving all that stuff maybe to Exegol, you know, having to leave. So I mean, there's that possibility too. But I mean, you could go pretty much anywhere really and kind of make it work.
Yeah.
It looks like Bender is watching this on YouTube. How's it going, Bender? Back. So yeah, you just missed out on our conversation on The Bad Batch. I know you asked about it last podcast, and we weren't able to talk about it. But yeah, you can rewind on YouTube there. But yeah, Ray has some stuff to talk about as far as Star Wars releases go. So Ray, what do you got?
Well, we got this. I don't know if people have gotten their tickets. AMC just posted this, or not AMC, but Funko Pop News. This looks pretty cool. Now, the other buckets and cups look cool, but I would want this. I don't know about you guys. What about you guys? Would you want this?
It looks pretty highly detailed there. And yeah. I don't think have they done an R2 popcorn bucket in the past?
I know they're doing them at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, like the Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, it's a popcorn bucket and sipper combo. So it's a drink and your popcorn bucket. Wow.
I wonder if his back opens and you can like reach in.
I don't know. I'm interested. I mean, we only got, I think, two AMCs here. Okay. So I'm going to have to go and see if they have these and see how big it is. From the photo, it doesn't really kind of give you kind of a good thing, but yeah. I'm interested. I definitely want to see it. If you guys have seen it, let us know. I mean, what you think about it, if you would actually buy it.
Yeah, send us your pictures. Pose with your R2 popcorn sipper. Send them to us.
And then, of course, they just had all the fun stuff happens in Hong Kong and in Japan. You know, we always get left out with cool stuff. Right now, what I'm talking about is this. If you haven't followed Hot Toys Collectibles, they did a freaking Star Wars Power of the Dark Side pop-up store in Hong Kong. And it is beautiful. I mean, if you guys are watching on YouTube, check out the photos. Go to Hot Toys Collectibles on Instagram. But this is some of the merchandise they've got.
Ooh, that mall cap looks cool.
Yeah,
dude. Cap.
So we're going to be going through quite a bit of photos, and then we've got this. This I liked. These chairs made out of wood. Wow. And stuff. Yeah, I was like, wow. I can imagine how much that would cost to buy and ship. but I mean, even these little Hot Toys, they're like little miniatures, cheap,
like life size Hot Toys.
Yeah, I mean, that is so cool, dude. I if I could buy one of these and have it displayed in my house, I would definitely like one of these kind of things in my house. They even have this right here.
There you go. I think for Zach,
right there, Zach would like that. It's like about a good size.
Interesting that he has a red blade, though.
Does he have green eyes?
I think they're yellow. I think they're
yellow and red.
It's the Sith eyes.
I'm the wrong person to ask that question, I guess, but that's sweet, though. But
then, and then check this out. They got more, nice. Man. The pictures that I'm showing you guys, you can go check them out if you don't have a chance. But this one I loved. The detail in these toys, man. It's just, and then this
right here. These are the actual, the scaled Hot Toys. Yeah.
I mean, just beautiful, the work they put into this stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't bought any Hot Toys, but that baby Grogu and that thing, I would definitely like to get maybe that. But it's just, they do all the cool stuff. Like, they did this for Avengers when Avengers came out. They had a big Hulk Buster. Every time something big comes out, they always go all out with Hot Toys.
That's sweet.
But yeah, if you guys, you know, want to check it out, we got these photos that we're showing you. But they have all the displays of all the exclusives that are coming out. The one that really got me was this one right here. Has all the Sith. So it has
Vader, Tyrannus, Palpatine, Kylo Ren, Darth Maul.
Starkiller.
Who's that? Oh, Starkiller. Possibly Keanu Reeves there.
Oh. Shadow the Hedgehog? Is that you?
Dude, it's just... Dude, they have Hot Toys.
And for it to be a pop-up shop, that's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's in the title, so I mean...
But see, I don't see... Well, I mean, I can understand because it's they manufacture everything over there, but
yeah,
they got to do something like that here in the States. You know what I mean? Make it fun for fans to also here can enjoy. I'm hoping that they will have some form of this in Celebration. Cause I think it would be cool to have.
Oh, I think they're definitely going to have a lot of that type of stuff at Japan when we go. Yeah.
I think that'll be freaking awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I had to show was that. I mean, those two things that I thought were cool that came up. It just seems like every day they're popping up with new stuff. And then also, guys, we're going to be doing a live stream on May 6th. We're going to be interviewing Rodney Barnes. And he is doing the Inquisitor series that's coming out. And he has created a new Jedi for that series. So we're going to get to talk to him live. Join us. If you have questions, it's going to be fun. It'll be me and David. But yeah, don't miss out, guys. It's going to be 9 o'clock our time, which if you're on the central time zone, 7 o'clock West Coast. And then I think 10 o'clock Zach's time, I think.
You bet.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I got. What else have y'all got?
I think one last thing here. If you're a Star Wars fan, you get a lot of Star Wars like random stuff on your timelines of Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. And I came across this picture. I'm not sure if it's real or not. I want to say no, it's Photoshopped. But if you're a kid from the 90s like Ray and I, you're very familiar with a certain band with a certain, what do you classify them as? I don't think they're, I guess they were always thrown in like the rock category or whatever, but they use synthesizers. Kind of like alternative? Yeah. Alternative, like alternative. Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, so the lead singer, he became prominent in that he won the Academy Award for doing the soundtrack for The Social Network. And that's a soundtrack I've listened to thousands and thousands of times. It feels like I'll just be working my day job and I just have it playing. And it's it's really kind of the same music, I think, that kind of goes with the job that I do during the day. Very much the same topic as the movie Social Network. But he won the Academy Award for that, and then he won another Academy Award for doing a Pixar film. So, and I think the title of the movie was called Soul, and I think Jamie Foxx was the main voice actor in that film. But I came across this picture. I don't know if it's real or not. I don't think it is. I'll put it up here on video. It's a picture of Trent Reznor with George Lucas.
I don't know. That's kind of hard to tell.
I know. George ain't looking too great.
Well, George always looks like that in photos these days. He never smiles. That's like his picture face. And Trent Reznor is as kind of like a half smile. But yeah, it's incredible the way that Trent Reznor's career has gone. He does score films. So maybe in the future, could we get a Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross, who's his partner throughout all these award-winning films, get a scored movie by them? I mean, what could it be? I'm still waiting for Star Wars to kind of hit that stride of doing lots of different types of films. I thought after The Last Jedi, once that was so different, I thought we were going to branch out and do all kinds of different projects and stuff. We're slowly getting there. I mean, we got Andor, which was really different, very adult. We have The Mandalorian, and then we got Book of Boba Fett. I know we're going away from streaming, but, I mean, I say anytime you can get talent, attract talent, recruit talent, get it, I think it would work. But I'm a huge fan of his when he does scoring. But I just thought this was a funny picture. I don't know if it's real or not, but it's just kind of wild to me. So, yeah, that's pretty much everything I have. Do you have anything, Zach?
No, I think I covered all the bases. Drink your blue milk, kids. Stay hydrated.
Yeah, vitamin D. So if you want to find us on social media, you can always find us on Instagram at Star Wars Stuff Pod. You can find us on X at Stuff Pod. We're on Threads, Star Wars Stuff Podcast. And always on Patreon, we try and do separate podcasts on there where we kind of just like hang out. It's usually with James. James is usually only available for Patreon dailies, but you can see Zach and James, me and James. I think Ray and I were probably going to do some in the future here. But your support helps. We're trying to do more interviews, try to go on site to different places, different conventions, and that will help with paying for our hotels if we got to stay somewhere and our travel. You can also find us on TikTok. Just search up Star Wars Stuff Podcast. You can email us. I know Bender here that's watching us, he said he sent us an email, but I don't think we got it because I looked through our mailbox and I did not see anything. But I assure you, I see everything that you guys send. We get a lot of junk mail too. So it's sometimes it's kind of time consuming going through all the stuff because this email address is public. We get different emails from all over from all kinds of people. We're also on Facebook. We have a group and a page. We do a little bit of Twitch. I think that's Colin and Josh's arena. They do that. Write us a review on Apple. Give us 5 stars on Apple. Give us 5 stars on Spotify. If you could, we'd appreciate that. And that is it.
Real quick. Yeah. So we'll talk about this next time, Bender. He has a theory for Bad Batch that everyone's going to die except Omega. So
we'll see you on Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think that covers all of our bases. That's every prediction. We put it on the table. So someone's going to have to be right. So, all right. For Ray, Zach, and myself, may the Force be with you.
Long time.
And always.